This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This episode is brought to you by Ocean Thinkers, a social enterprise on a mission to inspire the next generation to learn more about our ocean and make an impact. Through events, apparel, and the membership-based Ocean Thinkers Club, this mum-led initiative is all about helping children tackle ocean conservation head on. You can shop their beautiful limited edition apparel range and join the Ocean Thinkers Club now at oceanthinkers.com.au.
Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not, where two moms try to figure out how to make work work. I'm Lou. I'm a bit hoarse from the weekend. Who are you?
I'm Loz, and I'm going to kick things off with a good news story. A study analysing over 1,000 emails found that emails sent by women achieved higher click-through rates than those sent by men. The average click-through rates for messages sent by females was 18% compared to a lousy 10% of those sent by males. So
we're doubly as interesting.
Yeah, it pays to send the email. Thought that was pretty good to start things off this week.
That's a good one. What can you tell me? What happened in your week?
Okay, I've had a few things happen this week.
You always have. I'm excited.
Number one. My brain is really starting to get to the end of the line. I've got 4.5 weeks to go. So this week I sent an email to a client and I said, see attached for a presentation that I needed to send them.
Yeah.
They wrote back, hey, Loz, no attachment. Well, they actually called me Lauren by my formal name.
Yeah.
Hey, Lauren, no attachment. I said, oh, so sorry, Paul, whatever his name was. I'll reattach it.
You didn't.
And then instead of reattaching the presentation, I reattached a photo of Sienna and I that I was meant to send to her kinder for Mother's Day. So that was off to a good start.
What was the response to that?
Nothing. He wrote back again, I think this might be the wrong attachment. I was like, secondly, and this is a bit of a weird one. We go to Torquay every couple of months, every year. We've got a caravan there. In our caravan, there's no toilet, which you know, which is very...
Shared cubicle.
Yeah, very weird for me.
Torquay's very off-brand. The whole thing's off-brand. You're being in a caravan for a bit of your life. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's weird. So, being heavily pregnant, I thought to myself, this is way back in October last year, I need to buy like a portaloo for the caravan, which obviously would sicken some listeners. I understand this. So, I bought a portaloo off Temu.
Okay.
Which
well,
I know
you know how I feel about that.
Which I know you love. It never came. So
of course
I was
it
like,
didn't, because okay. It's a terrible business.
I was like, okay, it never came. Until maybe like a month ago, and this big box arrived at my door. When I say big, I mean like enormous.
And you
like,
had idea what it was.
I had no idea what it was, because this is from like October last year. And I said to a couple of girlfriends, oh my God, I've got this big unboxing to do from Temu. So I videoed myself unboxing it, and it's a gigantos. Like, I actually don't think you've ever seen a toilet this big in your life. It even comes with the toilet roll holder on the side.
Wow.
Yeah, it's enormous. Ryan was like, what are we going to do with this? I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, hard rubbish this week. Put it out in hard rubbish.
And someone's collected it.
Someone has
Some lucky person has collected a toilet, but a portaloo. Where was it going to sit in the caravan?
I don't know. I hadn't figured that out yet. Okay. I never ended up doing it. But the moral of the story is someone's trash is another person's treasure.
I was actually trying to think of that saying and I couldn't, so I just had to steer the conversation in a different direction.
There you go.
Wow. I love it when you do fucking weird shit.
Weird shit.
Normally you're switched on, but I must admit late pregnancy is getting to you.
No. What are your highs and lows for the week? What have you done this week?
Firstly, Loz, macadamia nut down your
top. Oh, shit.
I can see it. Don't you dare avoid this.
I'll have to post that one. I ate some nuts this week because I've still got diabetes. Annoyingly, it's like just never going away. So I'm on the nut bandwagon. Had a bunch of mixed nuts. I did a big stretch like that. Oh, and a macadamia nut had lodged itself all the way down my top. It had been there since about midday. So
did you eat it later?
Yeah,
of course I did. I'm not going to waste a good bag.
They're expensive. Oh, but yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah. It has been a week for you. What am I going to tell you today? So Posey's daycare. Hades came for the orientation and he came for the first morning. Cannot tell you how much it helped. And I know that might be a privilege for some. However, I would like to posit that a lot of dads out there have taken an arvo off for golf, for surfing, for another extracurricular activity. And I reckon there'd be people that would go, oh, well, he can't do that because he's busy at work.
Can I ask an actual question, though, about the whole daycare orientation?
Yeah.
What's the point of it?
You
I don't
just
get
drop
it.
Them in.
For 30 minutes.
You just sit there. You go, okay, I'm a good parent because I fucking meant to take them to orientation.
I think it needs to be banned.
It honestly means nothing.
Yeah.
Hayden and I were sitting in there and he's like, all right, should we go? And
yeah,
I was like,
correct.
Yeah, we probably should.
Exactly. And do they make you, does your centre make you pay for it?
No, they don't make you pay for it. You literally drop in. Like orientation is a very generous term for what
okay,
it is.
So ours, you have to pay for a half day for an orientation. They have to do two orientations before you start.
Wow. Mm. Oh, it's very loosey-goosey down where I live. But my point really is, if a guy can take half a day off for golf or surfing or fishing or whatever his activity is.
Also true.
Join your partner on the first day of daycare. I want to see more of that. Next up, I'm really sick of seeing Coachella content. I'm just sick of it.
Oh,
it's starting to enter my algorithms because my friends are talking about it and I'm trying really hard to make it not enter my algorithms.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see all these outfits at Coachella.
Why?
I'm just not interested.
What's bothering you so badly about it?
Oh, I actually don't know. I feel like
if
a bit
I
of a grumpy
went to Coachella,
man.
Actually, no. If you went there, what would you wear? What would be your outfit of choice?
Oh, you know me, I'd be in a sequin boob tube top and some little hot pants and some thigh high leather boots, of course. No, I don't know what I'd wear because, look, let's be honest, unless someone flies me there, I'm never going.
I'd wear nipple pasties and a G-string. I'd get everything out. It'd be the only time in my life I could actually do it.
You'd probably get pregnant for the event because you love yourself pregnant so much that you'd look your best.
And then
pregnant.
What's anybody going to say? Look at that pregnant cheek. What
you
wearing?
Would stroll down that catwalk. I'm assuming there's some sort of catwalk there. The whole thing's a catwalk, let's be honest. You would own that. Last but not least, Hayden and I did the juggle today of kids at home because we're in Melbourne today.
Yes.
And both working from home and just like tag teaming meetings online, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So stressful. I could never, especially when we're on the caravan trip, I've thought, wouldn't it be nice if we both just sort of worked from home and had the kids and shared them? I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because you're always
awful.
Stressed about when you're getting back to them and relieving the other person.
Yeah.
So for anyone out there that feels a little bit guilty that, you know, the kids are at childcare.
Don't.
It's really, really hard, even when both of you are home, to work from home together. That's a wrap on my boring update. So let's get into it. What are we talking about today? Is working part-time actually part-time or just full-time expectations with part-time pay? And next, should being a stay-at-home mum mean you're responsible for every job that relates to your home and your family? Where does one draw the line? This is a debate that continues to heat up, and today we will unpack it. But first, take it away, my friend.
Okay, part-time pay, full-time pressure, the myth of flex-friendly jobs. I like to open things with a bit of a stat, so if you didn't already know that. One in two working mums in Australia work part-time, so it's one of the highest rates in the OECD. It's pretty big. Majority is 56% of those mums say that they're working well outside of their paid hours, especially when remote or flexible.
Which no one is surprised to read.
No, absolutely. The gender pay gap obviously widens with part-time work. And why? Because part-time roles are often lower paid, less senior, and more likely to be excluded from promotion or stretch projects.
Yeah.
When we're talking about part-time, we obviously also talk about the flexibility penalty. And it's real. So working mums are 30% less likely to be considered for leadership roles.
Wow, whereas the daddies are getting bloody promoted every day.
They're 26% more likely to pick up office housework, which I've spoken about before. So admin, culture clubs, social organising,
and
that kind of stuff.
And that starts even before you have kids. Like it's just female walks through the door. She will be in charge of the event outside at lunchtime.
Yes. So I wanted to chat to you about, because we actually talked about this morning, I want to preface by saying, what do you think is your sweet spot when it comes to working hours? Like how many days a week are we talking?
Oh, I think that you made a really good point this morning. It's really hard not to lean on what you're going to tell me.
Yeah.
Come up with something unique, Lucy. For me, 3 days is perfect for reasons that you're going to get to. If 3 or 5 were my options, which you've convinced me they're my best options, 3 is my option. How much of it is rooted in guilt though? Like, I feel like I need 2 days a week with my kids. I think a lot of that comes down to guilt. I don't know. It's like my preference of how the working week goes. Do you know what my preference really would be?
Yeah.
In a world where I have a lot of money and a lot of flexibility.
Volunteering.
No. Oh, I'd love to do some volunteering actually. Give back to some good organisations. But what I was going to say is much more selfish. And that's having a nanny from about 9:30 a.m., maybe 10 a.m.
Well, you could do it. You could get an au pair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, they're not living in Darcy. Hates and I, you know, doing things too often.
Risque.
No, we're never doing anything. No, I would love a nanny from like 10 till 2 or 10 till 3 every day. Imagine that.
I can't believe you said those hours.
Well, Well, I find them the hardest, don't you?
10 till 2 during the day?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
That's why I want my kids gone.
No.
A gorgeous morning with them, be a gorgeous present. 3 till 8, look at their phone.
Or if you're me, 3 till 9, because my kids aren't going to sleep.
I'm talking work hours.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay. My ideal as a freelancer
yes.
would be getting to work for like 5 hours, 5 days a week, as opposed to condensing it into 3. Because there's always emails to respond to on a Wednesday and a Friday. They're my days with the kids. There's always something to do, which lends itself to what people are saying here, because like life just fucking keeps going. And it's all well and good for me to sit there and be like, I'm just going to sit here and paint today and be the most gorgeous mum that I've ever been. Then you'll send me an exciting text. And what would I prefer to speak about?
Yeah.
Painting, I know what you mean. With my fingers or some exciting podcast stuff.
Yeah, true. So I'm going to break it down when it comes to part-time and full-time, because yes. I think 4 days is an absolute joke.
If, yeah, no, I'm going to leave it to you.
And
please.
This is why. I think most women, if I'm honest, would want to work 4 days. I think that is the sweet spot. The problem that I keep seeing with 4 days is that really it's 5 days in 4 days with a 20% pay cut. Your job description, what you're doing, your responsibilities, it's not changing. Nobody in HR is turning around and saying, oh, she's 4 days, so let's reduce that workload. What they are doing, though, with 3 days is they're saying, okay, officially she's classified as part-time. So some of that stuff that's on her plate is going to be removed. I want to tell you a story, too, about this. So a few years ago, and this is, I think, very quintessential what happens to women when they return to work. I was working part-time. So after having Sienna, I returned back to my organization. I don't even know if you'd call it part-time. It was like that slow ramp up to work.
Yeah, okay. What was the end days like once you ramped up?
Oh, so it was like it was a 5 day. So I was moving back into 5 days over the course of 2 months.
Okay.
But for those, maybe it was 3 months. Oh, I can't even remember what I negotiated. But over those 2 or 3 months, the week that I got back, my manager went on maternity leave. So I was instantly thrown into a situation where I was then leveling up.
Yeah.
Or like had this amazing opportunity where I was moving into her role.
Okay.
Could
so
I do
literally
it?
Literally got promoted into her role?
Well, no. So could I do her role? Yes. Did that mean though now I was doing her role, my role in 3 days? Yes. Did the organization classify it as a development opportunity? Yes. And what I would say to that is like everybody's kind of thinking to themselves, oh, good on Loz, like she can do it. She's expected to do it. But the biggest problem is when you're transitioning from being a mom and then going back into the workforce, having to have that amount of workload technically within 3 days is absurd when you say it out loud. Nothing. I took it for the opportunity that it was.
And you just worked around the clock.
And then worked around the clock. And then as soon as I could get to 5 days, I was like, well, I may as well just do 5 days because that's what I am.
I'm already bloody doing it just outside of hours.
Absolutely.
Is this when you're working like 8:30 p.m. and getting on for 5 a.m. meetings with America and everything?
Yeah, that was genuinely
did anyone
the worst.
Ever notice that you were doing way too much work in your 3 days of pay week?
Do you know what I would say? I think at the time I felt really grateful. So I felt really grateful to have that opportunity where I could expand or like be the boss, essentially.
I think I've heard women say that before.
Yeah, I did. I felt really grateful. But what I didn't feel grateful about is when I looked at my bank account balance and was like, what is going on here?
Effort.
I've got no pay rise. I'm getting a penalty because I'm technically working 3 days, but I am getting up at like 5 a.m. for 7 a.m. meeting and I'm clocking off at 8 p.m. So I kind of think to myself, are women truly working part-time?
Yeah.
Or are we doing a compressed week and getting less pay for it?
I always think that even as a freelancer who partly works for themselves, because whenever I've been interviewed, I talk about the fact that I have 3 days of childcare and I work about 3 days a week. You and I both know that that's a myth. Like I would clock 40 hours a week easily. Like if I sat down and took every part of our job together and my other jobs and I put it all down on a spreadsheet, there's no way I'm not working full time.
No. So how do we protect our time and still show up? Here's some tips from women who have been there, most of whom have been on Ready or Not. If you haven't already listened, I've taken some tips from them. I'm going to say them out loud so that you don't fall into the same trap that everybody seems to be falling into at the moment. Number one, define success early. So what does success actually look like in this role and can it be done in 3 days?
Yes.
I feel like when you ask that question up front to management, they're either going to be like, oh no, this is a full-time role.
It's a really good tip that you give because that's part of the reason I decided to freelance.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't foresee how that busy job that I found it hard to do in 5 days, I could do in three, but it is sort of a shame that I never just asked the question or asked how they would have downgraded it if I went back 3 days. Like, I never really had that discussion.
Also, I think if you're up front to begin with and you're like, could someone really do all this work in 3 days? If you speak to your manager, they're most likely going to be like,
100%.
No, not really. But yeah,
they'll be like, there you are. Fucking good point you raise, and I've never thought about
that. There you are. Where could be? Get cracking.
You're leveling up.
Exactly. Number two, track your hours. Tell somebody what you're actually doing. Like, when do your meetings start and when do they finish? And if you're well and above 3 days a week or 4 days a week in terms of hours, you have to say something.
Can I add, I would also say that that's a really good tip for freelancers, because yes, I think that's where you get stuck. You think, oh, I'm so flexible, I work for myself. You end up doing so much extra work that you just don't even quantify as the deep work. Like, I feel like deep work you think of as work.
Yes.
But emails and scheduling things and thinking about things and brainstorming, we sort of don't put that down as actual hours. So it's a really good tip for freelancers too.
Yeah. Number three, name the scope creep. So one of the examples that was given in a Ready or Not episode was, I've noticed I'm being pulled into work on my non-work days. Can we reassess deliverables based on my, whatever your full-time equivalent is, like my 0.6, my 0.8, whatever you're looking at, I think is a nice way to frame it. And four, don't apologize for capacity. I say this all the time. I feel like it's much easier when you're pregnant because people feel slightly sorry
at
for
capacity.
You. But I always say, hey, I'd love to take this on, but I'm at capacity at the moment. Happy to chat about it in a month's time or happy to chat about it in a couple of weeks. By which stage? By the time someone gets back to you,
they've forgotten about it.
They've forgotten about it.
The project's probably dead by then. We're actually not going ahead with it. I'm glad you didn't put your effort into it. Have you had that experience lately where you've had to say no to something?
I'm saying no to everything because there's no point.
Yeah.
As in, there is no point me taking on more work now when I'm about to wrap up to hand it to somebody else. It's not beneficial for them, whoever's moving into the role, and it's not beneficial for me because, quite honestly, I'm not going to be busting my balls until the, you know, 12th hour trying to get stuff done. I'm already working up to my due date.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't working while I'm birthing. So
how are you winding down? Because when I went on parental leave at Cricket Australia with Ray,
yes,
it was just fortuitous that like the season finishes up sort of April. So it was like just perfect timing. That's when he was born. That's when I went on leave, when the season just goes quiet. If I gave birth in December, it would have been really stressful and it would have been like wild and the handover would have been a totally different story. So from your experience, you've been really busy. How are you actually winding down?
I feel like I'll wind down once the baby's out.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, here's a little controversial something for you. This is how I'm winding down. I am scheduled to give birth on a certain date. 2 days after that date, my dad, my husband, and my children are all going on an interstate trip for 8 nights.
I actually frothed this for you.
It's weird that you say that because so many people have been like, oh my gosh, Loz, but won't you need the help? Won't you need the support? Girl, I've got 1,000 girlfriends.
Yeah.
I have people I could readily call upon.
And Sienna, not for the baby.
Exactly.
For the first time mum, absolutely, by the way.
Yes.
We're sitting here as people that have done it. And like for a lot of us, not everyone, but newborns can be a lot easier than toppers.
Yeah. And also like, I love my husband. I love my children, but they're noisy. And I wouldn't say like Ryan takes initiative really quickly. Like, I'm very clear to be like, I need you to do this. And then I normally preface it by saying immediately afterwards, just so he understands the time frame
the
around
urgency.
It. But with girlfriends, they come to your house, they drop off a tea, you know, they take the baby, they let you shout. Like, it's intuitive. It's, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, it's your third baby. You're never going to have the slow days that we get with our first.
No.
So that's going to be like this beautiful
week quiet.
Where you can just have quiet and really like take them in. I know I sound really woo-woo and you're not really baby person.
No.
You like toddlers, but I think it'll be beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, to wrap this up, if you are in a boat where you are looking at reduced hours, so part-time, or you're maybe thinking, why shouldn't I apply for 4-day-a-week roles? The reason is because the likelihood is you are going to be doing a 5-day-a-week role in a reduced amount of hours for a reduced amount of pay. So strongly reconsider what you're looking for. That would be my advice.
And you give the best advice. I came across a clip the other day with Naya Roos. She's the founder of Mother Untitled. She's been on Ready or Not.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks a lot about the grey area between stay-at-home motherhood and engaging in paid work. And I saw her speaking on another podcast the other day, and I want to share this with you, and then we're going to chat about it.
was my struggle, and I think many women's struggle is, well, if I made this choice to pause my career, then my entire value is in the day-to-day work I do for the home. But you didn't pause your career only to be a piggy bank. You paused your career because you wanted time with your kid or less stress, and like that deserves support too.
Spending time with your kids does not mean that you are also the sole person responsible for the house being clean and the laundry being done and all of the meals being cooked and all of that. No one expects anyone to work 24/7. No other job are you expected to do it by yourself and do it 24/7.
First up, thoughts, feelings, feedback. What does that make you think?
Oh, feels. Yes, I absolutely agree. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
But there needs to be probably more of an even split as to who that is.
Probably. You do a lot around your house.
I do.
But you work a lot too.
Yes.
When do you actually fit in laundry, cleaning, cooking, all of those things? Like, what hours are you doing that work in?
Okay, so if I am in the office, I am most likely prepping a lot of food the day before. So I'll do that the night before.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like laundry and stuff, I'll probably do that late into the night. If I am at home, I am like a super freak, as in I will have a Zoom call, and if I'm not required to actually participate in it, I'll be mopping.
Oh my God.
I'll be vacuuming.
I've actually never mopped my house.
Never?
Yeah.
Oh, girl. Well, you could eat off my floors.
Do you want to come eat off mine?
Absolutely not. I'd pick up a parasite.
Yeah.
No way. No, I feel like I'm really effective with my time, as in I'm also one of those people that I don't like to sit still. Stuff needs to be done, and it needs to be done to a standard that I uphold myself to. So if I've got 10 minutes to do a quick vac, to do a quick wipe of the bench, I'll find time to do it between the hours of 7 a.m. till 9 p.m.
You and I are real yin and yang in that way. Like, yes. I need tidiness. I don't need cleanliness.
But you also cook. I'm not a massive cook. Like, the kids had dinner. The kids had eggs for dinner.
Oh, I don't mind eggs for dinner. We need to stop training eggs
like
for dinner.
Microwave eggs.
Oh.
Yeah. To see.
Maybe I am mum training.
This is what I mean. As in, like, I'm not cooking like a gourmet omelette for 25 minutes. Like, sometimes it's what we call like a googie egg.
Yes.
Like the egg in the microwave.
Which is very confusing given that's their uncle's nickname.
Yeah, I know.
Do they think their uncle's in the microwave?
It's all like a shop in my house.
It's very confusing at dinner time.
It is.
But you do have the 7 to 9 slot absolutely nailed.
Yes.
God, you do have high standards for how your house needs to run. You really reminded me of that just now.
Do you know what I always say to my girlfriends? If you come over to my house and there's shit everywhere, you need to ask me, are you okay?
Yeah.
Genuinely, because my mental health will not be okay if my house looks like a bomb hit it.
Yeah. That's a really interesting one because we often talk about embracing the mess. What does that actually look like for you? I feel like we've had this conversation, but you can't get that far. So what does it actually look like for you?
I would say there's some things that I can be messy with. Okay, here is a good example. I am comfortable with mess inside a cupboard.
Oh, that's big of you.
So, for example, my house may look neat, but then if you opened a cupboard, there might be like a lot of stuff in there.
That's actually a great tip too. I don't know if you listened to the episode, the bonus episode with my friend, the psychologist, Sarah Garby.
They were
talking about overwhelm. And she said, have mess baskets around your house. So if you cannot deal with the mess,
you just shove it in.
You also don't have time to clean up, shove it in, and it makes a difference. I've started to do that heaps.
Like, I'm not.
So your cupboards are fucked.
Yeah, my
cupboards. It's like Narnia in there.
Yeah, it is like Narnia. And also, I'm not one of those people, like, at the end of the day, I have girlfriends that literally organize their kids' toys.
Yeah.
As in, like, all the cars must go together. I'm like, mate, throw them in the bucket.
Yeah.
I don't care about that.
You're like chaotic in a few ways, but you're very clean in others. Okay, so I want you to now pretend that a friend is coming to you. She's decided to stay at home, not return to paid work.
Yes.
But she feels like she's drowning in motherhood and in all the chores that are coming with it. And she doesn't think that her partner really understands that this job is 24/7. And it's just like so much more than he could possibly be doing if he is a he when he goes off to work. How would you tell her to have that conversation with him that she's drowning?
Okay. So there's a really good free app called, am I going to get this wrong? Is it Gottman?
Oh, yes, the Gottman Institute.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, I've never downloaded that. I've always meant to.
Oh, I've got it. It's so good. It's also good, to be real, just to have like a different conversation at dinner time.
Yeah.
As in, if you're going out with your partner and you talk about the same shit every time, you're like, oh, you know, how's your week been? What's it on the schedule for the kids? Blah, blah, blah. It can get a bit boring.
Oh, it gets very boring.
Yeah, very
sometimes
boring, very
like,
quick. That's why I go to loud places. I'm like, what? But if you are someone that wants to have a conversation around maybe a difficult topic and you don't know how to bring it up, grab that app. It is free, so you don't have to pay for it.
Amazing.
And download it. Like,
all the psychologists recommend that too. So it's like,
it's really, really good. So I would probably start it that way. Or I'd probably just take the initiative to be like, this is what's on my plate. It's too much. I know that you're technically doing your like 9 to 5 or 9 to 9 job working in an office, but my job is not 9 to 5. It is like 7 to midnight and I need help and I need to either outsource or you need to lean in and help me.
That's a nice little reframe of the lean in movement. Maybe lean in for 2025. Daddy's like, working from 9 p.m. till 12 p.m. on things inside of the home.
Well, what would you do? How would you? I mean, you're quite direct. I feel like you just have the convo with Hayes.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. Something actually that Sarah Garby also mentioned in, I can't remember if it was the actual interview or that bonus ep, but she talked about how you need to frame it of, this is how I feel about it as opposed to you're doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was really powerful, which just lends itself to what you're saying. I've definitely had moments with Hayes. He's pretty bloody amazing. But I've had moments where in early postpartum or something, I feel like he doesn't get how I feel because I am the one doing the breastfeeding.
Yes.
And I carried the baby and gave birth and all of that stuff. And the way I always frame those conversations is I know that this doesn't make much sense right now, how I feel and how I'm behaving.
Yeah.
But like, this doesn't make sense. Like, this whole thing is new to me. And it's huge what I've been through. So you just need to give me some grace that every now and then might go a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Because, this is a wild time. So I would just revert to your tip. I'm actually going to download
that
app.
It is so good for everyday life.
Yeah.
Okay. As in, not for like moments of weakness or moments where you're like, I'm going to murder my partner.
Yeah.
It is good for just starting a conversation on something that's like normally off the table that you can pick up.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go to two of my favorite comments, but before I do, there's so many comments on this post about the idea that it still is such a privilege to stay at home, which we know it is. Like, there's people out there
that
are struggling financially.
Yes.
But what's always missing from these conversations is no one's saying what a privilege that the primary breadwinner gets to go off to their office 9 to 5 every day, have a hot coffee, and not think about laundry, household duties, kids admin, kids sport, costumes for kinder, birthday presents for this person on Saturday, taking them to the gym for this other party on Sunday. No one's saying that it's such a privilege to have that all looked after for the very children that you bred with that other person. How do we reframe this conversation?
I mean, have you spent a whole day at home with your kids?
I have. Too many.
It's fucking hard work. I know it's a privilege financially to be able to stay at home, but mentally, I would almost go as far to say that being a stay-at-home mum is extremely taxing and it is very difficult.
It's a hard job.
It is absolutely a hard job. The days where I'm in the office or where I'm working and I don't have my children, quite honestly,
they're
are
much easier. Like, yes, we love our kids. Yes, there's joyful moments, but they're much easier being in an office with people your age that don't crack it at you for really bizarre things like putting a sock on the wrong way.
100%.
It's a lot easier. But I guess what I'm getting at is, why do we still think the privilege therein lies with the primary caregiver as opposed to the primary breadwinner that gets so much looked after for them just because they had a baby?
I mean, I don't know.
It's just, do you know what? It comes back to that same answer that we've had so many times. Unless dads in hetero relationships, unless they take on more parental leave, they never learn how hard it is for the other person.
No.
And so they never know.
No. And actually, I did have this conversation with Rye recently. So Rye has started his own business. He works for himself. His hours are really long. And, you know, to his credit, he's doing a great job and he's really like nailing certain aspects of it. Like, I'm not going to big note him too much over here.
He's succeeding.
He could improve. But
he's in some industry mags, we'll put it that way.
He's doing well. But as I said to him the other day, don't forget, I paved the path for you. The mental clarity, every day you get up and you have the ability to walk into work without the mental load or the to-do list or the tasks that I have. So when you go to work, your mind is focused on work. I've paved that path for you. Whereas for me, my mind isn't like that. Like, I am doing the birthday presents. I'm doing the cleaning. I'm doing the horrific cooking. Like, Sienna even said to me the other day, you're really good at making sandwiches, but Dad's really good at doing dinner. And I was like, okay.
Ryan is a better cook than you.
Yeah,
we'll give him that.
He absolutely is. But for him to do the best that he can at his job, like, I'm removing a lot off his plate.
100%.
So, I mean, hopefully, as we spoke about the other day, hopefully we do have that super yacht
Yes, you and I, that is.
Never going to happen. And then he can make a speech and be like, thank you to my partner for allowing me to be successful.
Because that's what's missing.
Exactly.
Now, I do want to get to two of my favourite comments before we wrap up. The first person is Science Spirit Happy. They say, when I decided to be the primary caregiver of my child after hearing all the many horrors of parenting, I realised the kids weren't the hard part. Doing anything else while taking care of kids is the hard part. So I consider kid work and housework two separate jobs, and we divide them up between us accordingly. I love that take because it's
like
true.
It. Yeah, it is true.
It's just one that happens in silo because unfortunately when you're doing the work of children, you're often inside the bloody home. Next up, we have Sierra Martino, which is a fantastic
name.
I
love how you always say people's Instagram handle names, by the way. It's so funny.
Well,
I never read them out.
Some of them are funny and some aren't, but that one's gorgeous, so we'll keep that in. As a therapist for couples who get stuck in that mindset of they're a stay-at-home mum, so that includes all cooking, cleaning, extracurricular, etc., I always share, let's say we hire a nanny to care for this kid. Do we expect said nanny to also be a house cleaner? If yes, we pay higher. Do we expect nanny to be a cook? If yes, we pay higher. Do we expect nanny to organise kids' schedules and sign them up? Do admin tasks? If yes, we pay higher. Any task that would be outsourced and would be paid for, we need either to do that and pay more, or it's a shared household task, not just on mum.
Yes, this reminds me of this viral meme. Not meme, not meme.
Remember when you called things meme? You've come a long way,
like
sweetie.
A vlog. No.
Earl for URL.
I'm thinking of that viral reel. Remember where that girl's like, I'm charging my husband for what I do in a day?
Yes, she sent him an invoice.
She sent him an invoice and it was like astronomical because she's like laundry, cooking, cleaning,
nappy
change.
Yeah, if you took this down to the laundromat.
Yeah.
If you got your shirts pressed.
Exactly. And I'm like, she's kind of got a valid point.
Yeah.
You know?
So if anyone's out there feeling like they're drowning under the weight of motherhood, maybe these conversation starters can get you going. And this just reminds you that you are doing a fuckload, even if you're not having a high-flying career. So with this idea of paving the way, if you were to ask Ryan one thing that he could do to make your day run a little bit smoother, what would it be?
Bedtime stories, bedtime routine, anything at the end of that day where I feel mentally and physically checked out and exhausted, just taking one thing off my plate would be enormously helpful.
Do you run the bedtimes?
I don't do all of them.
Yeah,
but
depends
I definitely,
what time he gets home.
Yeah, I definitely do some. And even at the end of the day, I feel like that's the time where I'm pretty exhausted and I just want to have like a half an hour walk.
Yeah.
By myself. Or the other thing I like, I do like coffee, but make me a tea at the end of the day and say something appreciative to me, like, you're great, mum, or you're killing it. I am very much a sentimental, like, words of appreciation.
I couldn't agree more. That is one thing that's definitely missing from Hayes and my dynamic is because he is so good and honestly gets better every day. I'm not saying he's perfect. I still carry more of the load from him, but he is very good, is that I will often be like, you've been an unbelievable dad and partner this week. Thank you. He expects that of me, so I don't get that back. And I don't mean that he's nasty. It's just the way society has like raised us is that the mums are in the home and do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even think to praise me like that. But I want to be praised.
Yeah, so do I. Praise is, even if I'd done everything all day and I just got at the end of the day, you're such a great mum.
Yeah, and I see you and I appreciate you.
Like, you know.
And we will sleep together tonight.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
There is no aphrodisiac.
You may get lucky.
No aphrodisiac. Like praising me. That's it for today, my friend.
That is it. If you have loved today's episode, please leave us a positive, glowing 5-star review and follow us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. See you next week.